Ignite My Fire is the theme of the 2015 Spiritual Renewal Missions Conference held September 16th through September 20th, 2015 at Bethany Baptist Church, located at 7745 Tioga Street in the Homewood Brushton community of Pittsburgh, PA. Dr. William R. Glaze is the senior pastor. We have been praying that God would bless this conference in every way and that people citywide would attend. Reverend James Ford, pastor at Christ Bible Church of Chicago, Illinois, is the keynote speaker. Other missionaries and speakers will also take part. Come and bring a bus or van load. Further details can be found at www.bethanybaptist-pittsburgh.org or by calling 412-242-3255.
Greetings, radio friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, and I'm coming to you with a special announcement. Classes for the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute will begin on September the 8th. Why don't you come and take a class with us? You can gain wisdom that will give you a peace of mind in dealing with everyday life situations, and also biblical knowledge that will help equip you in your service to the Lord. Classes that we are offering this fall: on Monday evenings, we are offering Introduction to American Sign Language that will help you to be able to interpret the Bible and other Christian literature for those who are hearing impaired. Also, we will be offering a class on Tuesday evening dealing with the cults, understanding false religions. And then on Thursday, we have two classes that we are offering. That one is Defending the Christian Faith, an apologetics course, and another one is Background of the New Testament, which kind of gives you some insight as to what was going on in the background of the New Testament times. And then we have our biblical counseling program that we are offering on Tuesday evenings. And this is a nationally certified program that takes 3 years, but you can begin this fall with us, and by the end of 3 years, you will be a certified biblical counselor. So why don't you come and join us for a class at the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute this fall? Give us a call at 412-242-3255. God bless you, radio friends.
Welcome to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of God Came to Us to Give Us Satisfaction on This Journey from our series, God Came to Us. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of God Came to Us to Give Us Satisfaction on This Journey.
Your relatives are looking for satisfaction because they can't find it. They don't have it. And so they start this search to look for it. And so they seek it through their resources. The first one is wisdom. In verse chapter 1 and verse 17, Solomon, again, go back to his resume. I told you who he was. Go back to his resume. And I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly, and I perceived that this is also vexation of spirit, for in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increases knowledge increases sorrow. So even in wisdom, there is grief and sorrow. You're not going to find it in wisdom. Now, wisdom is good. Knowledge is good. But how many educated fools are there? They haven't found that satisfaction they're looking for. He said, okay, well, let me move on. Maybe I can find it in wit by staying up at night and watching Jimmy Kimmel and watching Dave Letterman. Maybe I can amuse myself and find satisfaction in my amusement. He said in verse 1 of chapter 2, I said in my heart, come now, I will test thee with mirth. Therefore, enjoy pleasure, and behold, this is vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad. And mirth, what good is it? Wow. This guy had everything. He had everything. He tried synthetic ways to satisfy himself. In verse 3, wine. I sought in my heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting my heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was good for the sons of men, which they should do under the sun, under the heaven all the days of my life. He said, I sought wine. And a little bit later, he goes on to tell us that that was vanity. He sought works. He said, well, you know what? I'll build a great facility for myself. I'll build a great house for myself. He said in verse 4, I made for myself great works. I built houses. I planted vineyards. I made gardens and orchards. And I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruit. Works. I made pools of water and water therewith the wood that I bring forth from the trees. He said, works. I built great things for myself. He said, not only that, but I had workers. I wasn't a worker, but I had workers. Verse 7, I got servants and maidens, and I had servants born in my house. Also, I had great possessions of herds and flocks above all that were in Jerusalem before me. He said, I had wealth. Verse 8, I gathered also silver and gold and the peculiar treasure of kings and of provinces. Then he goes back to these workers again, right? He says that, and this is worldly music, I got men singers, you know, I had Beyonce, and I had Taylor Swift, you know, I had them all come to the palace, right? And they all sang for me. He said, I got men singers and women singers and the delights of the sons of men, of musical instruments and all that sort. He said, I had worldly music. And then look at this. Now, I don't know if this is an egotistical statement or a humbling statement that he's saying. He said, and so I was great. He had world renown and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever my eyes desired, this is a bad dude. Do you hear what I'm saying? Whatsoever my eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not from my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of my labor. So I had wisdom, I had wit, I had wine, I had works, I had workers, I had wealth, I had worldly music, I had world renown. In verse 12, then I looked on all the works of my hands that they had wrought, and all the labor that I had labored to do. And behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. Wow. Brothers and sisters, you wonder where people of the world are trying to find satisfaction? Ask yourself no more. Here it is, right here. It's right there on the screen. Right there on the screen. And here you had a man, and let's all be honest, that had achieved more probably than any other person alive, even Jesus Christ, when he walked on this earth, had achieved more than probably any other man on the face of this earth. And what was his conclusion? It's all vanity. It's all vanity and vexation of spirit. The world's attempt to find satisfaction. So he goes and he tries to find it through resources. Next, we see that he tries to find satisfaction by studying through reflections. He begins to reflect upon things. And he, first of all, reflects upon wisdom. And we already talked about that. The end of that is vanity. He reflected, as we already looked at, upon worldly pleasures, and we already see that that's vanity. He reflected upon projects, and that's vanity. But let's look at one that we didn't talk about. He reflected upon promotion. He said, oh, maybe if I get a promotion, maybe if I move ahead, then I'll have satisfaction. Maybe if I get that director's job. Maybe if I get that job over here with this big raise, then I'll be satisfied. So let's see what he has to say about that in Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 13. He said, better is a poor and wise child than an old and foolish king who will no longer be admonished. So what happened? The king was on the throne, right? But one day he's going to be gone. He was promoted. The king is promoted to the highest place in the land. And yet and still, he's going to be gone one day. And this young whippersnapper is going to come along and take his place. He says in verse 14, for out of prison he comes to reign. Almost like out of a confinement, this young guy, he comes out and he reigns and he's born in his kingdom and he becomes poor. And I considered all the living who walk under the sun. And the second child, that child come up. And what happens? That second child comes up what? He comes up in the place of the king, right? Oh, something that young man was hoping for all his life, to become the king, to become head, to sit up front. That's what we try to achieve. That's what we strive for. And yet and still, Solomon says, and there is no end of all people, even of all that have been before them. They also who come after shall not rejoice in him. So what is he saying? There's going to be a group of people that when this young guy becomes the king, there's going to be, according to, you know, the scripture here, there's going to be people that get upset and they're going to overthrow him and will do what? Look for somebody else. So what good was his promotion? What good was his promotion? I'm not saying that we should not achieve and strive for promotion. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying, in the end, where does promotion leave you? Somebody else is going to come and take your job. Oh, I heard some amens there. That promotion that you had, that kept you up at night, that drove your blood pressure up, that made your hair either turn gray or turn loose, that you worried about, that took 10 years off of your life, and you finally got it, and now somebody else has it. Did it satisfy? Oh, yeah, it satisfied for a moment. But after that, satisfaction was gone. And so Solomon continues on, and if we had the time, we would drool on through 11 chapters and with the same attitude, the same spirit. And perhaps the thing that, I'll say this, that gets me the most, because we're all headed, if we live long enough, we're all headed to where I'm getting ready to show you now. So we're talking about satisfaction. You looking for satisfaction in this world? Guess what, baby? It ain't happening. In chapter 12, he talks about the evil days that come on us. The evil days that come on us. That if you live long enough, now I tell people I like to work out, and the reason I like to work out, I know I'm not going to stop Father Time, but I'm going to try slowing him down. But it's coming. The evil days are coming. And satisfaction in this life will become less and less. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, let me just jumpstart us. He says in verse 1, remember now the Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, look at this, I have no pleasure. I can't do the things I used to do. I have no pleasure. Now, that's not saying you have absolutely no pleasure, but you don't have the same pleasure that you once had when these evil days come on you. I see some of the deacons, not going to call their names, they can stand down there and still jump up on here. I ain't trying it. I used to be able to do it, but the evil days. So what are these evil days? So if you follow along with me, we'll go through this real quick. He said, the keepers of the house, they'll tremble. That means when your arms and your hands shake. He said, when the strong men bow themselves, that means your legs start to bow out. The grinders cease because they are few. That means that you're losing your teeth. Those that look out the windows are darkened, losing your eyesight. You know, we can see pretty good, but we can't see the print like we used to. Doors shut in the streets. That means your lips are sinking because you lost your teeth. The sound of grinding is low. That means that noises that were loud at one time, hard of hearing now. Rise up at the voice of a bird. Can't sleep through the night. Right? A little bit of noise. You up. Daughters of music. Brought low. These folk right here can't help Dr. Jones out. Can't sing in the choir, right? Start losing that voice. Here goes one right here. Afraid of that which is high. Fear heights. Sometimes I'm afraid to step off of a step. That's kind of high. The almond tree flourishes. Means your hair is turning gray. The grasshopper shall be a burden. That means the little tasks become hard to do. You know what I hate? I hate to sit down and the remote be over there. Oh, it seems like it's so far away. Who left that remote all the way over? Little tasks become a burden. Desires shall fail. That means the youthful desires are no longer strong. And then he concludes by saying the silver cord is loosed. That's the spinal cord. Or the golden bowl is broken, that thing which supplies life. Or the pitcher is broken at the fountain. Or the wheel, your heart, is broken at the cistern. That means, you know what verse 6 means? That you're dead. That's exactly what it means. He said, then what? Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God. Who gave it? Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. All is vanity. So, I say, there's no lasting satisfaction in this life. No lasting satisfaction in this life. As a matter of fact, Solomon gives us a feeble attempt to tell us how we can make sense out of life. But I want to take it one step further than Solomon did. He says in verse 13, he says, therefore, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. With all this that I've said about you can't find satisfaction in life, he said, what is the one thing that you can do? Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So what is he saying? That life becomes meaningful when you put God in the center of it. That without God in the center of your life, you might have a good life, you might have some enjoyment in life, But you'll never find lasting satisfaction in this life unless God is at the center of your life. Because the bottom line to it all, that we're all going to return to dust. And so I come to this point and I say that God came to give us satisfaction on the journey. He came to give us satisfaction on the journey. John 10:10, Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it super abundantly. Now, I want us to meditate as I close this message out today on two songs, all right? Meditate on two songs. The first one is, He's the Lily of the Valley, all right? That's the first one. Now, why am I bringing this song? The reason I'm bringing this song is because I wanted to have a definition. I wanted to describe what it means to be satisfied, okay? I wanted you to get a picture of what satisfaction is. And in this song, we have a picture of satisfaction. Look what it says here. I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see all I need. All I need. What does that mean? I'm satisfied. All I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. Now, it doesn't stop there. It gets gooder and gooder. Satisfaction. In sorrow, he's my comfort. In trouble, he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll. That's satisfaction. Woo! That's satisfaction. He all my grief has taken and all my sorrows borne. In temptation, he's my strong and mighty tower. I have all for him forsaken and all my idols torn from my heart, and now he keeps me by his power. Though all the world forsake me and Satan tempt me sore, through Jesus, I shall safely reach my goal. And then I like this last one here. You're talking about satisfaction? He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here. While I live by faith and do his blessed will, satisfaction, right? A wall of fire about me. I've nothing now to fear. His manna, he my hungry soul shall fill. Then sweeping up to glory. Now, this is the ultimate satisfaction. To see his blessed face where the rivers of delight shall ever roll. That's satisfaction. Christ gives us satisfaction. You won't find it in this world, but you'll find lasting satisfaction in Jesus Christ. So let me close with this question. All right? I am satisfied with Jesus. He has done so much for me. He has suffered to redeem me. He has died to set me free. I am satisfied. I am satisfied. I am satisfied with Jesus. But the question comes to me when I think of Calvary. Is my Savior, is my Master satisfied?
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. Tune in next time for the first half of God Came to Us to Give Us the Victory. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, God Came to Us to Give Us Satisfaction on This Journey, you can contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program by calling 877-831-5060 and request God Came to Us to Give Us Satisfaction on This Journey. Again, that's 877-831-5060, and request God Came to Us to Give Us Satisfaction on This Journey.
If you would like to make a financial contribution to the program, you can send it to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208. That's the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, is taken from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.